Yeah, go ahead. Just hold this. I'll keep that nearby you like that, okay?
First of all, small question.
Yeah, sort of loud, a little louder.
Okay. My question is about of different techniques in chanting of holy name. Exists three types of japa, manasa japa.
Is this a what?
Three types of japa chanting. Manasa japa,
yes.
Upamsa japa.
Yes.
And vachika japa, loudly.
And loud, whispering, and silent.
Yeah. And sometimes internally,
silent.
I have, for example, I have intention to chant silently.
No, very good.
And how is more suitable for us? Which type of chanting is more suitable?
Yeah, thank you. Okay, I got it. Radhe, Radhe. Jai Guru, Shri Guru, Jai Guru. The devotee is asking a question of the which is more suitable for us. But the us becomes me because everything is individual. Krishna is one individual person with unlimited forms for every devotee, and we're one individual. As we have Atma, consciousness, then Bhagavan is sitting right next to us, like you're sitting next to your mother. And you feel like she's my life partner. She's my life partner. She's been with me since the beginning. And for the long time, you'll be with her. She's with your beginning, and you'll be with her end. And you'll go on as you're young. So she always feel me and my mom. You're me, one individual, then my mom. There's two. So it's for a devotee, it's me and my Krishna. There's no mom. There's mamata. Mamata, you have mamata for her. She has mamata for you. We have mamata for Krishna. Mamata means my. It's like M-A-M. Mom means mine. Mamata means the tendency to think of mine. That it's called possessiveness. Like if you have a child, you possess him, you love him. But if some other mother with a child, you don't feel, you understand English? You understand English?
Yeah.
Because mostly people are Russian, they don't even know. So then, if you have a child, then you have this sense of mamta. So it's you and Krishna. So now, this kind of question, this is for you, because you can't, generically, you can't say, of the three types of three types of chanting, which is better for us? Us means, because the word us means everyone. That's why there's three, because there's different types of people. There's meditative, peaceful people. There's very outward going, passionate people, and then there's someone in between. So someone who's very passionate and outward going, then loud chanting is good for him. Because what is the purpose of chanting? Mantra. Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Man means mind. Tra means to elevate, to deliver. So we want to, the chanting is a mantra. This mantra is a way to control the mind. Breathing is a way to control the mind. Because the mantra affects the prana. The breathing affects the prana. So you have to analyze yourself. If you can control your mind and your mind is not wavering by silent chanting, because silent chanting is the best and most beneficial. I mean, it's interesting. It's like a very fine point, because on one level, Krishna's name is Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. It's completely Krishna. And Nam Nama Kari Bahada Nija Sarva Shaktis. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Nija Sarva Shakti. Nija, my own, all my powers and potencies are in the name. So he doesn't say, it's in my name if you chant silently, all my powers. It's in my name if you chant loudly, all my powers. But it's in my name if you chant Upamshu. It's equal. Krishna is equal. Samaham Sarvabhuteshu, Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, verse 3 in Gita, it says, Samaham sarabhuteshu name jvesu nepsti sinopriya. He says, I am not envious of anyone. I'm equal. Samaham sarabhuteshu. Sarvabhuta. Sarva, all living entities, all jeeves. Sarva jeeves. I am sama, like Hindi, equal. But if someone is devoted to me, then I have favor. So if you're peaceful, then chant this manasik japa. So one level of Krishna's name is, this is the point I want to make, is all the shakti of Bhagavan. Krishna's name is Krishna, power of God. But on another level, Hari Bhakti Vilas and the Puranas and our acharyas, they're saying that, now this is what we call a paradox in English. Paradox means it doesn't make sense. Achintya tattva, achintya means it. Achintya in Hindi means I can't think about it. It's beyond my thinking. Chinta means to think, isn't it? So achintya means, it's a way of saying spiritual, transcendental. I can't think about it. I can't figure it out. I can't see it. I can't weigh it. I can't touch it. Where is God? Where is Atma? Atma is there and God is there. Whether we're there with God or Atma, that's another point. I have three. So depending on how... Because I just ate, now I feel pretty warm. But before, since I've been empty all morning, and I'm freezing, so now I'm like really fired up. So now I'm like back to like normal people, you know. Long underwear plus three sweaters, okay, equals 66 years. Okay, so don't mind, I'm Buddha Admi. But I have some Buddhi, Torah intelligence, not much. So what works with... So they say there in Hari Bhakti Vilas that silent chanting is 100 times more benefit. So Krishna's name is perfect. So 100 times perfect is... you understand? It's called paradox. If I chant Upamshu, it's 100 times more powerful. If I chant loudly, it's 100 times more powerful. If I chant silently, it's 100 times more powerful. Because how can you say God is more powerful than God? God is God. It's all equal. God is, so the holy name chanting loudly, silently. Yet at the same time, Sanatana Goswami, he's our Mahajan. He's our great teacher and great spiritual authority. And he's quoting Puran and the Shastras, Shastravidhi, the law of Shastra. And they're saying that silent is 100 times more. So I asked my friend Advaita Das, he's like smart, my teacher, very smart. And I said, so how do we understand this paradox? And he said, you get 100 times more benefit by chanting silently. He said, because the whole objective of mantra, which I was starting to speak about, what is the meaning of mantra, is to control the mind. So some people, their mind is so powerful and so loud that they have to chant loudly. But if you can control your mind when you're chanting silently, because the whole objective of chanting is control the mind, make it fixed on one point. It's called ekagrita. Ekagrita, it's a yoga concept. Ekagrita, it means it's not going anywhere. It's one-pointed, ekagrita. In English, you say one-pointed. It's not wavering. It's this thought, that thought, this desire, I want this, I want that, I need this. Him, he, she, it, they, we, this, that. No, there's no duality, there's no attraction, there's no attraction, no repulsion. There's equanimity of the mind, balance. That's what we want to achieve by chanting, because in a balanced, peaceful mind, then we can meditate, because the whole purpose of pranayama is to make the mind peaceful, to do dharana. Dharana, first there's pranayama, then there's pratyahara, withdrawing the senses, pratyahara with ahara, withdrawing everything into the mind. Then dharana, like Murlidhar, holding a flute. Dharana means that you hold the mind. Usually the mind is holding us, it's squeezing us, you know. Do this, do that. Oh, yes, you know. We're just, you know, so now the yogi, bhakti yogi, gyan yogi, karma yogi, now it's called dharana. These are steps of yoga, which we're doing also. He holds the mind, he controls it. Now he's controlling the mind. And we're only able to do that because of the power coming from Manohar, Sri Krishna. Manohar Sri Krishna. Hara means he steals our mind from Maya and gives us control. Because Krishna is controlled by love. So when our mind is controlled and fixed on Krishna, then we control Krishna, he controls us. It says in the Aham Bhakta Paradino. He says in the ninth canto of Bhagavatam, Krishna is saying, Aham Bhakta Paradin, Paradin. It's the same as Hindi. Paradin Adina. Para Adina. He says, I'm fully controlled by my Bhakta. I am under the control of my Bhakta. Then he says, Aswatantra. God is Swatantra. He's completely independent. But when there's love is there, like I'm a big, big, strong man or a big, huge controller, CEO, millionaire, but then I fall in love with some girl, then she says, oh, don't go to work today. Okay, I don't go to work. Let's go on holiday. I go on holiday. So now she's controlling the CEO because of love. So when we love Krishna, then Krishna, then we can dharana. Then after dharana is dhyan, meditation. So the whole purpose of what we want to accomplish as Raghunuga Bhaktas or as devotees is to always remember Krishna and never forget him. So shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam. Smaranam. Remembering Krishna. Smaranam, remembering, is only possible in a purified and pacified mind. The mind must be pure by bhakti bhajan and pacified by bhakti bhajan. Then we come to the level of dhyan. Then dhyan and then dhruvanu smriti, which is absorption and samadhi. That's the goal of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna is dhyan, meditation, smaran, remembering. So the most powerful way to control the mind is by meditation. So if you can meditate on the sound vibration, see the yogis, they try to control the mind. First they do pranayama to still the mind. But our very practice of sattvic life and bhakti bhajan already stills the mind to some extent. So now when we chant, we want to get more still. So if you can fix the mind by silent chanting, you'll get 100 times benefit, because now your mind, you have your mind fully under control, and it's just Krishna, Krishna, Krishna for 2 hours, 3 hours. This Krishna's rupam, the marks on the symbols in China, charana China, the marks and symbols on the bottom of Krishna's feet or Radha's feet or Nittai, Gauranga. And then they're meditating on their qualities or their all these things. And the mind is for 2, 3, so many hours fixed on that, or even better, some lila. And then it goes different levels of fixation and absorption of the mind in Krishna all the time. And by silently chanting or in the higher states of meditation, the chanting can even drops to the background or goes to the background, not even silent, or it's unconscious chanting, or it's even not even done. You're just absorbed and meditating on Radha and Krishna's Shringar Leela, Astakali Leela, and rendering seva there, as has been revealed by Krishna and Guru. So that's the top end of the line of meditation, chanting japa. If you can chant silently, that's very good. That'll be very helpful. It's very difficult, because silent chanting will give you 100 times the benefit. So when you read that, you think, well, let me try it. It's going to be difficult, but I'll get the most. In other words, someone says, well, if you go way up in the mountains, I'll give you 1,000 acres of property, way far from Delhi, very cheap. You say, oh, so far from Delhi, no friends. Anyway, I'll take it. So you buy this property far away, but then you turn it into an organic farm, 1,000 hectares. And then you're growing, then you make so much money, then you just go down to the city and buy a big flat and have other people run your farm in the country, whatever. So this is very difficult, but if you can get to that, then you'll get the benefits very fast. Personally, I read that years ago in Hari Bhakti Vilas, and I said, oh, because I was doing already Upamshu, because Prabhupada is doing Upamshu, very soft whispering. This recording of Prabhupada chanting is just, you know, in the beginning of ISKCON, he sat in some temple and chanted one round out loud. That's one round, but how many rounds did Prabhupada chant? And Hari Sari, his personal secretary, told me personally when I wrote my book, and it's in my Art of Chanting book, that Prabhupada chanted Upamshu. He said you couldn't, he was just whispering, you couldn't hear him. That's, Upamshu was like that. Upamshu is practically, you know, manasik. Manasik, there is no movement of the tongue. It's like, you know. So by practice, you get good at it. Then it's very easy to go into a meditative state by by this manasik japa, because you already, that's like, it's like some key. Like, imagine you have a, you go in one room and there's 10,000 monkeys jumping around. And then someone locks the door, and then you give a key. So, how, God, how do I get away from these monkeys? And you put, you're going in all these doors. Then you, there's so many doors in the room, and you're in this, locked in this room. And somebody gives you a key. Then you come out of the room and close the door. And, oh, it's crazy in there. The room's full of monkeys jumping around. So our mind is like that room. So when we pick up the mala and chant, Upamshu, or, you know, this other one? Vachika, loud, and then it kind of, you know, we start to throw out the monkeys. We start throwing the monkeys out of our brain. And then we get to that clean, clean room and peaceful mind, then we can meditate on Leela and Krishna's Nam, on this Rupam and Gunam. But if we do silent chanting, immediately we enter into that space. Because when the mind becomes accustomed to obeying, like in the beginning, when a zookeeper, or what do you call it? A guy in a zoo, whatever, no, what do you call it? Not zoo, but circus. A circus guy, he's training, whatever it's called, circus man, he's training a tiger. In the beginning, he has a whip, and he has a gun in his hand, and here's a piece of food, and now, you know, jump up here, go like that, jump through this big hoop, and they jump, they do tricks, the lions, they train in the circus. So he has used a lot of force and fright. And after a while, the lion gets, then he just sees the trainer come, or the trainer, the lion trainer. Oh, then, I know I have to do tricks. Even though he's a lion, he learns, I'm also in the circus. He figures it out. Now I have to do these tricks. So the mind, when it sees you, when it's, oh, now he's going to do, you know, manasik japa. Okay. It becomes like this. Dasasmi. It's a very, try to do this manasik japa. You'll see how fast you go on a devotional line by this chanting of manasik. I recommend it, highly recommend it. I do it myself, and I have anubhav experience of the results also. And that's generally what's done by the sadhus that we see.